Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so happy you all are here to share in this wonderful time together to learn to remember that which we have forgotten. Let's begin by just coming together for a few moments in silence together. Few mindful breaths. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And again, taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. So we are beginning in Chapter 8, across all of the editions. So if you have the Sparkle, the Original, or the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is Chapter 8 across the board. For those of us who have the FIP edition, as always, we know there are some differences, but the first few sentences that I read, you actually won't see in the very beginning. I'll read about maybe two or three sentences or so, and then you'll see that your reading starts to correspond. All right, so Chapter 8, The Journey Back. You are hampered in your progress by your demands to know what you do not know. This is actually a way of holding on to deprivation. You cannot reasonably object to following instructions in a course for knowing on the grounds that you do not know. The need for the course is implicit in your objection. Knowledge is not the motivation for learning this course. Peace is. As the prerequisite for knowledge, peace must be learned. This is only because those who are in conflict are not peaceful, and peace is the condition of knowledge, because it is the condition of the kingdom. So I'll pause there for a few minutes and see if anybody had anything come up that stands out for you in this first paragraph. I can share for me that the first sentence really struck me because the sentence, you are hampered in your progress by your demands to know what you do not know. This relates in my head, and I hope how it relates just comes through, but I was recently struggling with wanting to be in a place that I perceive is further along than where I am in a couple of different areas, one of which has to do with the writing that I've been working on and just wanting to be, you know, putting pressure on myself, essentially wanting to be further along than I am, and that can really, you know, generalize to any of us at any time when we want to be somewhere different than we are. And I actually ended up today, when I really got clear on that I really was trying to want to be somewhere else other than I am, got clear at that, looked at that with the Holy Spirit and was willing to see it differently. And I ended up getting an email from somebody with a lot of comments about an interview that I had done online and how helpful this person had found it. And it just really struck me that there's no mistakes, that we, each of us, are exactly where we need to be in our own growth and learning. We can't speed it up. You know, we can't the moment that we hear that little voice of, you know, oh, you should be further along than you are, in whatever way, shape, or form that might be, that's just the ego again. So that second sentence when it says that this is actually a way of holding on to deprivation, it just kind of almost made me laugh. But that ego, you know, wanting us to be somewhere different and buying into that, oh, I should be somewhere other than I am, is just a means of the ego to keep itself going. It's just a way that we're holding on to deprivation. So that jumped out at me based on what I had just recently been working with.
I think it's interesting how it says peace must be learned.
That's a good one. That is really interesting because we don't think of that as something that needs to be learned, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We think of it like, oh, you can just, you know, if this, and this fixes itself out there, then I'll be peaceful. But that's actually not what it's saying, that we have to learn peace. I'm glad you brought that up. I just circled that.
Yeah, that's really important.
It is. Definitely.
What does it say? The obstacles to peace. One of the first obstacles to peace is your willingness to get rid of it. I had a laugh. My daughter had called me this morning. She had this kind of a spiritual experience that made her just feel wonderful.
Wow.
And within a half an hour, I talked to her again, and she was in the worst place. And that occurred to me. It's that willingness to get rid. I mean, I didn't say anything to her because, you know, when you're in that place, you don't want to hear that.
Right.
But
right.
But it just struck me, wow, you know, that's what we do sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I know how I see myself doing that. It'll just be the simplest thing that can throw you off back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's. But I'm learning. I am learning to be more aware of that.
That's. I'm glad you brought that up. That first obstacle to peace is our own desire to get rid of it. And just what a fantastic example with just in a flash how we can have such a profound experience and then in the next, you know, moment be caught up in it all again. It's part of our process in a sense. And again, when that happens, it's just that when we recognize again that we're not at peace, that we must have decided wrongly.
Absolutely.
Page 90.
You know,
there it is again.
But the ego, honestly, I think that's why it is so easy, because the ego immediately gets all stirred up, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It
it's
does
like,
not
no,
want
yeah,
us
right,
to be
right.
peaceful.
You're absolutely right. Because what is that pointing to but the ego's unreality?
Yeah.
The fact that we're not these egos. Yeah, you're right. The ego then has a little hissy fit about something to get our attention again, and
off we go. But not for all that long anymore.
No.
I must say, I'm far more aware of the fact that it is a choice that I'm making.
Definitely. You know, I just want to share another story too before I forget, because this was really profound for me. Somewhere in the course, it talks about how if you inspire joy in others and yet don't feel joyous yourself,
mm-hmm.
there still must be something in you that's capable of inspiring that joy in others. I had the pleasure last weekend of meeting up with a friend who actually, she's on this call from time to time. It's Christy, who she lives in Colorado, and she and I have only met face-to-face one other time before, and she was coming to New York this past weekend, and she had a 95-and-a-half-year-old friend with her. His name, I won't say it on the call anyway, since we're recording, I don't think it matters, but she brought him, she was traveling with him. They did this New York City trip, and I met up with them for lunch one day and had the just most incredible experience with both of them, and the teaching about what the Course says that, you know, now this man was at peace with himself. He seemed to be, you know, very happy. And yet he inspired such joy in me on such a deep level. We didn't talk about anything spiritual or anything really at that level, but there was just something about him that touched something very, very deeply in me, and I just felt like I was beaming for days afterwards because of my encounter with him, just getting to hear his stories and his thoughts and the fact that he is 95 and a half, and I felt like I was talking to somebody who was, you know, I don't know, in their 60s, all of his wits about him, you know, in good physical shape. It was just, it also tied into me, the course's teaching about how when you, that there's two ways to leave the world. One would be with the ego, and obviously the other is through the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, it's that peaceful laying down of the body. It's like unzipping, you know, a suit that we no longer need to wear and just laying it by because its usefulness is over. And that, just the fact that this man was in such fantastic health in all different ways just gave me that sense that, yes, like what the Course talks about, you know, this laying down of the body, you know, the fact that when we can learn how to let the Holy Spirit shine through us, that's when the body, you know, is healthy and is a serviceable instrument, as the Course says. So I just bring this up because Paula, when you first started talking about it, it flashed through my mind. When you first started talking about the story that you just shared with your daughter, it flashed through my mind, and I just wanted to share it because I thought it was pretty cool on a number of different levels.
I cool. also have a friend. She is a Course in Miracles student. She has been right from the 1970s, from when it first came.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 92, and same thing. What an inspiration.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
An absolute inspiration.
It just, you know, it just made me think, like, there really is a way of living in this world that is, you know, how the Course says, you know, this life can become a meaningful encounter with the truth. And that just made me, and again, we didn't even talk about anything spiritual, but it's just what came through him and what touched me on a very deep level that all this was coming up for me. So, yeah, such a huge inspiration. Such a huge inspiration. I love that, Paula, that you know somebody like that, too.
Oh, she's just, and every time I see her, oh my God, she's always dressed to the nines, and I've got my jeans on. Oh, God. She's always going to the opera or to plays. She was a music teacher at Rutgers for many, many years. Just wonderful.
Yeah. I had asked him, too, what his secret was. Which sort
oh,
of
I was curious
him.
Of that. I was going to ask you if he had
yeah,
any.
Yeah, I totally asked him, and I actually am now part of. And we were talking about this openly, me and Christy and him, and we were speculating. Christy was speculating. She's like, I think it's because he has such an open mind, like willing to just stay up to speed with, like, he's on Facebook. So I'm going to send him. I sent him already.
Oh, so is Anita. She's all over the internet. Are
yeah,
you
it's
kidding?
Fantastic. Like, you know, he was talking about that and just the process of learning that, because he was saying when he retired, they didn't even have computers in the office when he retired. There was, like, one mainframe computer, and that was it. So this never comes naturally for him, but he's managed, you know, to learn. And so we were just speculating that his willingness to just, like, have just a very flexible, open mind. We were talking about all sorts of different issues and just how he says, you know, he's like, I don't judge anybody. You know, he's like, I never was aware of gay people, you know, throughout my time in the military and throughout work. And then I just, you know, recently, probably a while ago, but, you know, became aware that there are people who are gay. He's like, and, you know, that's good for them. Like, so again, there was, like, no judgment. There was just this flexibility in his thinking and this willingness to just – willingness is what really came through, just like a willingness to just not be locked into, you know, the stereotypical ways, you know, like your ways of seeing things. He was by any means was not – I did not get that from him, that he was locked into, you know, his way of seeing things. So that is pretty cool.
Is he a Course student or no?
No. I'm going to actually ask follow up with some questions because I want to ask about, you know, if he has a sense of spirituality and whatnot. But no, I believe he's not familiar with the course at all. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
I mean, Anita literally starts her day with the course. She does.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she's so, oh, my God. You know, she's devoted to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know how you do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, all right. After that digression, I just felt compelled to share. Let's tackle paragraph number two. So, knowledge will be restored when you meet its conditions. This is not a bargain made by God, who makes no bargains. It is merely the result of your misuse of his laws on behalf of a will that is not his. Knowledge is his will. If you are opposing his will, how can you have knowledge? I have told you what knowledge offers you, but it is clear that you do not regard this as wholly desirable. If you did, you would hardly be willing to throw it away so readily when the ego asks for your allegiance. The distraction of the ego seems to interfere with your learning, but the ego has no power to distract you unless you give it the power. I'll pause there. So there's a couple of interesting ideas here that stand out to me. And that really has to do, I mean, I guess I'll start with the last sentence, that the distraction of the ego seems to interfere with your learning, but the ego has no power to distract you unless you give it the power. That makes me just think of, Paula, the example that you just shared before with your daughter. Mm-hmm. It also makes me think, too, we were on the call a couple weeks ago and talking about how we are so profoundly confused in our identity that we do, you know, believe that we are an ego and are limited to these bodies. And it comes back to this idea that the ego has no power over us. It doesn't even have the power to confuse us unless we give it that power. So it again, sort of, if we step back, it comes back to owning that there is part of our mind that still wants the ego, that there's, you know, part of our mind that, we've talked about this before, kind of has one foot in each camp, you know, the ego and the Holy Spirit, and we're still unsure if we fully, fully want Spirit. And so for me, it's been an important process, particularly in my, well, in my growth, but also in my recovery from the anxiety that I used to struggle with so badly, that I had to really own that there's part of my mind that wants this. There's part of me that loves being Corinne. There's
yeah.
part of me that just, you know, loves what I made, loves this, you know, world as I know it, and does not want to let it go. And, you know, we have to own that. We have to look at that part of our mind and be willing to look at that with the Holy Spirit as well, because slowly as we do that, we start to have experiences that very gently teach us, you know, that there's actually, we don't need to hang on to anything, because there's nothing to hang on to, because again, we already are healed and whole and love and all of that wonderful, wonderful stuff.
To me, that is, I mean, when you say that, it's such a relief. I was talking to my niece today, and she was beating herself up because her daughter's gone off to college, and she really misses her, and she did not think that that was going to happen, and she's always been so above all of this emotional stuff, and she was really beating herself up, and I just said to her, cut it out. Let yourself be exactly where you are. We've devoted a lot of time and effort to our kids. You know, own it.
Yep.
And you know, she was so, she thanked me profoundly. I mean, she was like, oh my God, that's just what I needed to hear. And, you know, at one time, that wouldn't have even occurred to me to say something like that to her.
Yeah, yeah.
But because of this work that we're doing, it's just really so
it's
beneficial.
It's so gentle, isn't it? It's just so gentle. It's very
It really is.
It really, really is. And that's where, just like the Course talks about, you know, there's no loss, there's no sacrifice. You're not asked to give anything up. We're simply just asked to look at it with the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, that's where we slowly learn that there's nothing to give up. We want to let certain things go, because when we do, that actually makes us happy, because all we're holding on to is pain.
Yeah.
And I like that too, because I feel like it's the choice again, you know, that it is a choice, and that even though I still need some more time getting used to it, that I can choose differently, and I don't have to keep repeating this pattern of, you know, either beating myself up or intellectualizing something or running with the ego, like that we do have the power to choose differently.
Yes, yes. That is very comforting, that we always have that power. That power to choose. I am going to give another little story and digress for a moment. And Paula, I'm wondering if you've read any more of that book, Zero Limits, because you inspired me to start listening to the audiobook again.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been getting so much out of it. And one of the things that Dr. Hugh Len says in the book is that, you know, we do have free will, but our choice is always to, in his words, clean or not clean. And what he means by that is hand over your perceptions to allow, you know, the miracle to come forward, or not hand over your perceptions and keep doing it, you know, your own way, and keep the ego's ways sort of spinning. And so that just came up for me as like another way of thinking about the work of the Course. In and I've been working with the ideas in the book a lot again, with a lot of it's been pretty interesting, because we've talked about this prayer on the call before, the prayer of I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And Dr. Hugh Len, who's the teacher, well, one of the, I guess, teachers of Ho'oponopono, which is this Hawaiian method of healing, says how you say this to the divine, that basically at the zero state, that's divinity, that's God, that's truth. And you can think about the parallel to the Course, but the zero state, in Course terms, is knowledge, is, you know, heaven, is oneness. And we have made up these ideas and imposed, you know, on our own awareness of truth, we've put up all these blocks, these ego things that we've put up to not remember what the truth is. In Dr. Hugh Len's terms, it's programs and memories that we replay in our mind over and over and over again. And he's cleaning by saying to the divine, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. He's cleaning those programs. He's handing those programs and handing those memories to the divine to work himself back, or be worked back to the zero state. So it was just so cool to hear, and again, in my perception, hearing the Course, but in totally different language, with thinking about, you know, the ego's memories, the ego's programs, and these are the things that we're handing over to bring ourselves, you know, our awareness back to the love, the state of love that we never lost. So I thought I would just throw that in there, because it made me think about that in terms of the choice. You know, we always have that choice, as Megan was just saying. We always have that choice to heal our perceptions or not. What were we going to say, Paula?
Made me think of something here. You know, all of this nonsense that's going on in Washington. Well, mm-hmm. I think I'm not political, but mm-hmm. I have been listening more than I normally do because of this shutdown. And I feel concerned for people in this country and for myself. And I was getting very fearful because it's affecting the stock market, and I'd like to retire in the next year or so, you know, and I hate to think that the money that I have invested is going out the window. Well, anyway, what occurred to me is the Hawaiian prayer once again.
Uh-huh.
Because it applies to everything.
Yes.
So in the middle of the night, sometimes if I wake up and I feel anxiety about the stock market or this situation, I would start doing the Hawaiian prayer. And honestly, within 5 minutes, I'm back to sleep. It's wonderful. It's like this wonderful way of getting off whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason this afternoon, I thought, because I haven't even looked at my 401k or anything. I haven't looked at it. And I just thought, you know, this is all nonsense. Let me take a look. What am I so afraid of? It's actually gained this week. When you were just talking, I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
This goes really beyond. It's a wonderful thing, this Hawaiian prayer. That's all
it is.
There are shifts that take place. Whoa.
It's just funny that you said sleep, because what I wanted to just share was that I recently have just been, I don't even know how to explain it. I was just having tumultuous sleep, waking up a lot, having crazy nightmares where I'd wake up and be like, I just dreamt up the best horror movie about a haunted house that I was just in. I can describe it to you. Like, you know, just having these really bizarre dreams. And since I've been saying that prayer to myself throughout the day, and again, the meaning behind the words, I'm doing the course. I'm handing everything over to the Holy Spirit constantly. But just capturing it all in those few simple words, I have been sleeping so well that it's been amazing. It's been absolutely, absolutely amazing with just how deeply and how well I've been sleeping and how peacefully I've been sleeping. The nightmares have not been happening, and et cetera. So.
But throughout the day, if I get angry at somebody or think about somebody even from the past that brings up anger, it just occurs to me, oh, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And the minute you say I love you, it gets you off it.
It does.
It is so amazing, because you cannot be hateful and say I love you.
It
just doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't work. It is the most powerful, wonderful prayer, honestly.
It is fantastic.
We have to keep reminding one another of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's really starting to become a habit for me now.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Let's read this next paragraph. There's some good stuff here. The ego's voice is a hallucination. You cannot expect it to say, I am not real. Hallucinations are inaccurate perceptions of reality. You are not asked to dispel them alone. You are merely asked to evaluate them in terms of their results to you. If you do not want them on the basis of loss of peace, they will be removed from your mind for you. Every response to the ego is a call to war, and war does deprive you of peace. Yet in this war, there is no opponent. This is the reinterpretation of reality which you must make to secure peace, and the only one you need ever make. That sentence, mid-paragraph, if you do not want them, meaning the hallucinations, the inaccurate perceptions of reality. If you do not want them on the basis of loss of peace, they will be removed from your mind for you. That latter part of that sentence, they will be removed from your mind for you, is so important, because I feel like it's so tempting so many times to do the Holy Spirit's job for it, meaning, you know, we try to just push those thoughts out of our head or get rid of them ourselves or change them ourselves, you know, change them into something positive. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the deeper move toward healing that we can do is turning to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit remove them for us, because that's when the shift really comes through. So it's that allowing the Holy Spirit to do the Holy Spirit's job.
to let those thoughts be removed from our mind for us. And sometimes it's funny, like sometimes when you have that miracle, that moment when you feel the shift, you know that it has happened. And then there's some other times when it you don't even know that something has fallen away. It's just such a, again, a very, very gentle, subtle shift that occurs where suddenly you just notice, hey, I'm different than I was before. You know, I'm handling this differently, or I'm reacting not like I used to. So that's just a key piece in the sentence for me. It's that it's removed from our mind for us, not by us.
Wow.
Any thoughts or comments or questions about this paragraph?
And again, it's the willingness.
Yeah, it
you
all
know,
comes back to willingness.
It really does come back to that.
It does. That's the precursor, the prerequisites that we need.
God, I was upset about something this morning. Now that's how subtle it is, because I couldn't even tell you what it is now. But all I kept saying is, you know, just show me your way.
Uh-huh.
Just please show me, because I don't know the answer to this.
Uh-huh.
Just help me with this. Help me. And I swear, I couldn't even tell you what the problem was now.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. That's when you know that shift definitely happened, because you let it go.
Yeah, it was really a conscious thing on my part to really, I don't want to do this to myself.
Right. That's great. All right, let's keep going. We have another short section ahead of us called The Direction of the Curriculum. I think in the FIP edition it is, I'm just looking really quick to see if it, it looks like it's something different. Megan, are you still, you know where you left off.
It just keeps going.
Oh, it does just keep going. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. So the direction of the curriculum. Those whom you perceive as opponents are part of your peace, which you are giving up by attacking them. How can you have what you give up? You share to have, but you do not give it up yourself. When you give up peace, you are excluding yourself from it. This is a condition which is so alien to the kingdom that you cannot understand the state which prevails within it. Your past learning must have taught you the wrong things simply because it has not made you happy. On this basis alone, its value should be questioned. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. If learning aims at change, and that is always its purpose, are you satisfied with the changes your learning has brought you? Dissatisfaction with learning outcomes must be a sign of learning failure, since it means that you did not get what you want. The curriculum of the atonement is the opposite of the curriculum you have established for yourselves, but so is its outcome. If the outcome of yours has made you unhappy, and if you want a different one, a change in the curriculum is obviously necessary. And I'll pause there.
What stuck out for me is when it says when you give up peace, because I've always been looking at it as trying to gain peace.
Mm.
But again, it's just trying to it reinforces that I need to unlearn some more, because I never think of it as I've been giving up my peace all this time. I feel like I'm trying to get it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful.
Oh, that's perfect.
That is perfect.
Crazy, the wording that they can say to name it, and you're like, oh, now
right.
I get it.
That's perfect, and that goes back to what you said before, Megan, about that choice, that we always have that power to choose, and this puts it back in our hands again as our choice. We've chosen, you know, this isn't what our ego wants to hear, but we've been choosing mm-hmm. to give up peace all along, that, you know, it's not ever that circumstance or that other person or, you know, that outside thing that causes lack of peace. It's we're giving up that peace because, again, we're buying into the picture, siding with the ego, you know, all of those things. So if we're giving up peace, we're the ones back in that, you know, place of choice again, and damn it, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's like, that's hard to hear, but
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you brought that up. That's a great distinction.
The world absolutely teaches that peace is outside of yourself. We have to have this war so we can get to peace.
Right, right, yes.
The world absolutely teaches the total upside down thinking around peace.
That's right. And so are we satisfied with what our learning has brought us? That's the next, you know, that next whole paragraph, that if the outcome of our way, the last sentence of the second paragraph that we read, if the outcome of our way has made us unhappy, and if we want a different one, a change in the curriculum is obviously necessary. And that's where I know all of us as course students have come to, because we're looking for another way. We're looking for another curriculum because we've recognized somewhere along the way that it ain't working as is.
But it's so funny. Everybody will tell you, you know, maybe go work out or go find another man or go do this, and you're going to,
right,
you never
right.
really address, you know, what's really not making you peaceful or giving
yeah.
up your peace. And it's,
that's right.
I think that's what they're trying to say there.
Definitely, definitely. It's that ego's motto, seek but do not find. So keep
mm-hmm.
looking outside of yourself, because if you, you know, once you get that, then you'll be happy. And, you know, that's what the ego wants us to do, is to keep looking outside of ourselves. That was perfect. Let's take the next paragraph. The first change that must be introduced is a change in direction. A meaningful curriculum cannot be inconsistent. If it is planned by two teachers, each believing in diametrically opposed ideas, it cannot be integrated. If it is carried out by these two teachers simultaneously, each one merely interferes with the other. This leads to fluctuation, but not to change. The volatile have no direction. They cannot choose one because they cannot relinquish the other, even if the other does not exist. Their conflicted curriculum teaches them all directions exist and gives them no rationale for choice. So if we think about this here in the beginning, I almost want to read the paragraph again. The first change that must be introduced is a change in direction. So again, we're looking for another way. And then it says a meaningful curriculum cannot be inconsistent, which certainly, I mean, would we say, I mean, I guess on one level you could say the learning of the world is consistent because it always leads to insanity, but but it also, you know, I mean, we can see many ways that it, I mean, in most ways that it actually isn't consistent, because, you know, what's true for one person isn't true for another, and things happen that just don't make sense. So it's saying that if the curriculum is planned by two teachers, each believing in diametrically opposed ideas, it cannot be integrated. If it carries out by these two teachers simultaneously, each one merely interferes with the other. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit, the ego does not interfere with truth at all, and that's one of the catches where we feel we carry this unconscious guilt, because we actually do believe that we've done something that has changed truth, that has changed God. And so the Course is helping us to slowly look at this guilt and to come to see that we've changed nothing. We have not changed truth. We have not changed heaven. It's the ego would perceive that the Holy Spirit interferes with, you know, its plan, because it recognizes that perhaps there's something, you know, beyond it, but it doesn't want to go there. You know, it's afraid of truth because it would obviously shine light on its own unreality. So
mm-hmm.
that leads to fluctuation, not to change. The volatile have no direction. They cannot choose one because they cannot relinquish the other, even if the other does not exist. So that to me speaks to, you know, we don't, that we can still, even if the curriculum of the ego really doesn't exist, we can certainly still believe that it does.
That's exactly what's going on in Washington right now. That describes exactly, that truly describes the world.
Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
It's nuts.
It needs our love. It needs us to say, I love you.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Thank you. It needs us to be willing to see it another way. To hand it over. And that was the other piece, too, with you know, the Zero Limits book and Dr. Hewlin's teachings, is that he says that when you clean your own mind, when you clean and, you know, let go of those old memories and old programs that are playing in your mind, when they get erased, they're not erased just for you alone. They're erased for the entire world. And so how beautiful is that? And again, how perfect is that with just staying in line with the Course? Because the Course is saying, as you undo these false beliefs in your own mind, you're not just healing yourself. You're healing everything, you know, all of your brothers, everything.
When I am healed,
I am not healed alone. Perfect.
It just makes so much sense. An incredible learning.
It is. So let's read the last paragraph of this section. The total senselessness of such a curriculum must be fully recognized before a real change in direction becomes possible. You cannot learn simultaneously from two teachers who are in total disagreement about everything. Their joint curriculum presents an impossible learning task. They are teaching you entirely different things in entirely different ways, which might be possible, except for the crucial fact that both are teaching you about yourself. Your reality is unaffected by both, but if you listen to both, your mind will be split about what your reality is. So I picture this as I was reading this paragraph with, like, you know, Spirit standing there still and quiet and, you know, full of peace. And that's what the Holy Spirit teaches, is that love and that peace. And then there's the ego teacher that's blah, 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 and, you know, just sort of spewing all sorts of lessons from its mouth. And so to think about there being some sort of joint curriculum that could possibly work, meaning, you know, undoing false perceptions and yet keeping the dream going, you know, they're two different things. And I know for me, with what I just said, in the past, that would have brought up fear for me because, again, of recognizing that there's part of my mind that does not want to give this up because this is what I know, you know, this is what feels safe. And to think about not perpetuating the dream or letting this world go was like, oh my God, you know, that's so scary. Again, the path of the Course is super, super gentle, and we don't lose a thing. And so the dream's not going to be over until we, you know, fully, fully recognize and know the truth about that. So there is no cause for fear in that statement. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And then where the sentence that it says, so they are teaching you entirely different things in entirely different ways, which might be possible except for the crucial fact that both are teaching you about yourself. So just think about what the ego teaches us about ourselves. And then think about what the Holy Spirit is teaching us about our true self. They're two totally different things. And our reality
I don't know if this even applies, but reading this, I'm thinking about, like, when I get caught up when two people are telling me their sides of a story, and, like, this is where sometimes I feel insane because I don't know whose part of the story is the truth. And to lean more on, I don't have to figure it out. It's not for me to judge or for me to figure it out. You know, I'm just there to listen and to be there for both sides, whether, you know, it's two of my friends or two of my siblings, because I think sometimes I get caught up in trying to figure out who's right or judging who was wrong in the situation. And I just feel like what jumped out for me is, you know, that just the insanity of trying to follow two things in any instance, whether
right.
you know, your mind or people or
Oh, that's such a great example.
I don't know if that's making any sense, but that's
what's
coming
totally.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes. I think it's a fantastic example of just with what you said, too, about, you know, there are those two different, you know, sides of the story. And in that, you know, particular example, you know, how you said, or at least what I interpreted from you, from what you said, that, you know, you have a choice to, rather than, you know, try to figure it out or judge, that you can actually still just, you know, be there and just listen to both,
yeah,
because that's what they need. That's really powerful.
I think it's important, though, in that situation, because it really, to question in your own mind, which voice am I listening to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is difficult. I have friends who are Tea Party people, and then I have friends who are wonderful, you know, liberal Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walk away from either of them, it honestly, the solution, again, is I love you, please forgive me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, thank you. Because the minute you try to take sides, and the ego is so subtle in all of this.
Mm.
And I watched this the other day, you know, when I walked away from these Tea Party people, I'm listening to that voice in my head that's saying, oh, they're the cause of all of this. This is why there's a shutdown. Oh, they're guilty of something. And it was like, whoa, isn't that cool? Look at that. I'm not buying into that, thank you. No, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. It's the
beautiful,
only sane solution. It's
mm-hmm.
the only sane answer. And
that's
and
awesome.
And what always comes to my mind about either of these couples is how much I really do love them and how
mm-hmm.
thankful I am to have them in my life. But the ego is so insidious.
It is.
The way it comes through the back door half the time, you know. It's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, just when you think you have it down.
Just when you think you have it down, it's like, yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. You know, it again brings me back, and I know I've said this course quote on the call before, but let me think, I have it written down right here. It does not matter in the end whether you judge right or wrong. Either way, you are placing your belief in the unreal. So I feel like that came up for me with listening to everything that we just shared, because if you're listening to two different sides of a story, it's like, you know, if you think of a coin that is of the ego, there's going to be the two different, you know, sides. And if we pick one side, you know, as being right in our judgment and the other side being wrong in our judgment, that's still, we're still seeing it through our own ego. It's that place of being able to step back and, you know, see it with love, you know, see it with the Holy Spirit that is refraining from, you know, judging it as right or wrong, and instead, you know, is being that quiet witness for there being another way.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I like that quiet witness, the quiet mm-hmm. witness. Yeah, that's it. That's always the answer.
Isn't it? It is. I agree. Yay. Well, let's actually pause there. So we'll pick up at a new section next week. So does anybody have any other insights or, you know, examples or anything that came to mind? Anything that we can still address? Or are we good?
I think we're good.
I
think we're good, too. All right. Well, thank you all.
I think
all
this was
so
really
much.
Good tonight. Thank you.
Good, good. Oh, I'm so
thank
glad.
You.
It helps me so much. So thank you for
me
being
too.
Here.
I'm not going to give up my peace this week.
Yay! I'm with you. I'm joined with you in that.
Yes, I support you.
Yay!
All right, have a good
week. See you next week.
Have a good week. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.